May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
We have, over the last three Sundays, and now today, the fourth and final Sunday of this preaching series, been looking together at the question of how we live our lives with the vision that God has for us. It's a focus upon the fundamental questions of meaning that all of us face on our Christian spiritual journeys. We began by quoting Socrates, who boldly said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." The unexamined life is not worth living. And we said that to live our lives with vision from God addresses the deep need of each of us to fully live, to learn, to love, and to be loved, and to leave behind a legacy, some lasting mark that we were here. And I believe that those desires are deep within all of us, that each one of us here feels this within our very being. It was Leonardo da Vinci in the 15th century who said the following: "Every now and then, go away, have a little relaxation, for when you come back to your work, your judgment will be surer. Since to remain constantly at work will cause you to lose power of judgment. Go some distance away," he wrote, "because the work appears smaller and more of it can be taken in at a glance, and the lack of harmony or proportion is more readily seen." These are powerful words from a man who was brilliant on so many levels and who we know had a tremendous work ethic. But he himself reflected on how we as human beings need that time apart to reflect, to be. Summertime is, for many of us, that time. Many of our congregation presently away, spending that time, hopefully in some discernment. And so today, in this final of this series, I want us to look at the whole question of vocation. Whether you are working, whether you are semi-retired, whether you work in the home, whether you are fully retired, what is your vocation? The focus of our work is directed at the universal desire not to live the half-lived life, one that is lived exclusively in the trappings of the secular world. What is your vocation? It is a profound question that each of us ask. What has been your life's work? And what is it today? What are you perhaps dreaming that it may be tomorrow or one day? Last Saturday at Vivian Richmond's wedding, the Richmond wedding, there were three beautiful little girls that were in the wedding party that have dual citizenship between the United States and France. And they are members of the American Cathedral in Paris. And so they're familiar with church. And they're extremely familiar with weddings because these three little girls have starred in or had parts in French films as flower girls. And so they were very comfortable being up here and being at the rehearsal and being at the wedding. And so I thought, well, here's my chance. The two older girls were twins, Mathilde and Emmylou. And Mathilde was particularly hard to get to win over, if you will. She played hard to get. She's going to be tough someday. Emmylou was easy for me to get to know and was easy and very willing to work along with me with my kind of questioning. But it was Mathilde that I wanted to get the right answer from. So after we did the wedding and we got to the reception, I knelt down and I asked Mathilde. I said, Mathilde, so you've seen me now do a wedding, and you've been in films, and you've seen people play priests. I said, you've seen this. I said, do you think I could be in the movies? And she looked at me, and without cracking a smile on that beautiful face, said, I don't think so. Hundreds of weddings I've done, and at that very moment, my dream of someday starring in a movie was crushed by a pretty little 9-year-old girl with dimples and blonde hair. Well, it's not been my dream to be in the movies, but all of us have dreams. The words of the great artist and intellectual Leonardo da Vinci beckon us to take some time away to reflect on what is your dream. What is that God-directed place that you are being called to, no matter where you find yourself in life? A place that will leave a lasting legacy. And remember that legacy is that which you leave between you and God. It's not to be remembered as a famous person or for something specifically, but rather that God believes that you have done God's will in your life. There are two assumptions I want you to take with you today. One is that you are beloved, that God loves you for who you are. And the second is to choose joy, that choosing joy in life is in fact a choice. To live a life that God directs and to live this life with vision, you must understand yourself to be loved by God, and you must also be doing what you love and loving what you do to live with true joy. So as Christians, it is important for us to spend time away, either physically or at least emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, to spend time discerning. Discernment, that act of perceiving clearly with our mind and with our senses what it is God wants of us and what it is we want of God. So do you have something that you want to discern? Do you love what you do and do what you love presently? Are you willing to live with the yes and the no of that question for a period of discernment? Perhaps this coming week, live 3 days with the answer yes. I love what I do right now, say. Yes, I love this. I love this part of my life. And then live for 3 days with the answer no. No, I'm not real happy with my life right now. I'm not real happy with what I'm doing. And during both 3-day periods, perhaps write down or journal or even just take mental notes of those deep feelings that arise within you. It's a time of active listening. Listening for that still, small voice of God within each of us. And then on that 7th day, reflect upon both sets of feelings. See if a clear answer has emerged, Am I doing what I love and loving what I do? It was St. Ignatius that taught us this method of discernment. He would say, take a month with the yes, a month with the no, and a month with then reflecting on both. But maybe just try it for 3 days and 3 days and a day. As a beloved child of God, as someone that God loves fully for who you are, God wants you to have joy in your life. The vision that God has for your life is one where your vocation and joy meet. Is this true for your life's work? Is this true for your interests in life? If it is true, wonderful. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. However, if it's not true or not fully true, then perhaps you must seek how you can make some changes. What is it you could add or subtract to get you to that place? Obviously, so many of us have to do what puts bread on the table, what pays the mortgage and the bills. But perhaps there's something you can add to that if you don't have that freedom to just fully change the course of your life. Live with the yes and the no of the idea of a new vocation. It is, as the psalmist said so beautifully in Psalm 42, my soul yearns for God as the deer longs for the brooks of living water. That yearning that you have, that yearning that I have. It was Lebanese poet and mystic Kahel Gibran who wrote these words, "When you work, you are a flute, through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music. To love life through labor is to be intimate with life's most inmost secret. All work is empty, save where there is love. For work is love made visible." Your life, your vocation should be one of true joy because you are beloved in God. And finally, believe in you. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Something that I seek to live by. Way back in 1996 when I was a runner, I'm not anymore, the knees have given up. But back in 1996, at the age of 36, I was very serious about running, and I was in the Peachtree Road Race in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was an overwhelming race to sort of begin my racing time. I began pretty late running. I began in my 30s getting serious about running. And the Peachtree Road Race was the first real race I would run. And the distance is not overwhelming for a runner, it's 6.2 miles, but rather because of the thousands and thousands participating in what has become an international event. And so you have to be honest about your running time, what you think you'll do, and so I was honest, and it put me in the middle of the pack. Not the fastest, certainly, not the slowest, certainly, but right there in that medium place. And the race is extremely well planned, well executed, and the final destination is Piedmont Park, a beautiful park in the heart of the city. And as we lined up and the race was about to happen, I suddenly had that feeling of, I can't do this. What am I doing? How can I leave? Where can I get out of this? And of course, you're sort of packed into all of these people. And the race goes off, and if you've ever run in a race like this, you cannot really run for about the first half a mile because there's so many people. So you're sort of just moving along, and then all of a sudden it opens up. And when it opened up, I even more had the sensation of, why am I here? It was 92 degrees at, 7 in the morning. It was humid as could be. And all those negative thoughts came into my mind. I looked at other runners. I said, you don't look like that. Why are you running? Look how much better shape that person's in. How are you going to do this? What? And all of these things, knowing that my wife and my three young children were waiting for me at Piedmont Park, and I had to get there somehow. So I focused on, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just kept saying those words over and over again during the most difficult part of that course by Piedmont Hospital, where there's a tremendous hill in the city. And I finished. Not a fantastic time at all, but I finished because I kept saying that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Can you believe that whatever challenges you're facing today, you can do that? Any vocation in life that God is calling you to, you can do that. Nothing is impossible with God in Jesus Christ. Believe in you and live in God's vision. Amen.